I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a very rich day in our readings. And as Douglas mentioned at the beginning, when he began the first reading, the principal theme is about hope. Oftentimes today in these readings get confused with money, but money is really symbolic about hope. Now that sounds strange, but the absence of money, of course, often feels hopeless. And just grasping after money is also hopeless. And so the Christian community is always worried about this kind of thing, and the Jewish community before it. The reading that we started out with today in Jeremiah the prophet contains, and it's interesting that Douglas was the reader because he is a lawyer, it contains the most full account in the Bible of how deeds and land transfer was done. There's no other place in the scripture that has a complete recording of how it was done. And essentially, we still do it that way today, where you write it out, you get a witness, everybody agrees to it, there's an open copy and a sealed copy, and it's put away for safekeeping. Now let's get some background to where that all came from for Jeremiah. The Babylonians had come in and had captured the land where Jeremiah was living. And he had been placed under house arrest. When it said at the beginning of the reading, he was in court, that really is a euphemism for saying he was under house arrest. And the land had been taken over by the Babylonians, and there could be no transactions done under the Babylonian rule. The northern kingdom of Israel had fallen to the Babylonians, and the southern kingdom and Jerusalem and a town just outside where Jeremiah lived had been under the control. But then the Egyptian armies came. I know it's a history lesson. The Egyptian armies came and freed them up. And for 10 years, the Babylonians had retreated because of the presence of the Egyptians. But then after 10 years, the Egyptians moved on and the Babylonians came in. And it was shortly after that that the Babylonians scooped up all the Israelites and took them out of Jerusalem, took them out of Judah, took them out of Israel, and took them to Babylon, which is today Syria. And so the people were given a scoop, and when they were in under Babylonian rule in exile, that gave them the impetus to start writing down the scriptures, the Old Testament history, the Old Testament writing, the law. Up until that point, it was all done orally. So the written down Hebrew scripture is only about 2,500 years old. Before that time, it was all in an oral tradition, much as our First Nations people here bring their stories in an oral tradition. But it was a very hopeless time for them because they were terrified that they were going to be stripped of their culture, stripped of their religion, imprisoned and enslaved. And a little later, about 20 years later, it did happen. But Jeremiah is saying, in this moment, have hope. You will be able to have a contract, as you do on earth, by buying and selling land. But you also need to keep your faith and have a contract with God. God has a contract with you. God loves you. It's not all about material things. You have to start seeing greater things. And it's on that foundation that we go and start to hear about Timothy. And Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy saying, be careful of chasing material wealth. Material wealth can come, material wealth can go, but if you lose your soul to chasing material wealth, then you're out of sorts with the vision of Jesus. For the vision of Jesus is that we have built a covenant, a deed with God. And God's deed is you will always get the wealth you need, but the wealth you need, material wealth, is not as great as the other wealth. And that other wealth is having a community of positive relationships, a relationship of love, of trust, of reconciliation, forgiveness, and hope. And then we come to the gospel. For Jesus, in his parable, is talking about Lazarus. And Lazarus was in life very poor, very outcast, very marginalized. But then, as Billy Graham once said, the wealthy around Lazarus, when they died, there was no U-Haul behind their hearses. And they had had their great time in life, and in the afterlife, they had weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Lazarus had it better. The essence of that parable is, no matter what station we are in life, it's important that we build a community of respect. Those of us who have wealth, and always people have wealth and some have not, share the wealth you have. And those who have not, don't begrudge those with wealth, but remember always to share the gifts that you have, which is love, compassion, forgiveness, and trust building. And we are to build a community based on that equality. That's the essence. So what do we do with that teaching from Jesus? What do we do with these teachings which we've brought out of Scripture for us living in 2016? For there is a great diversity of wealth in our world around us. We hear it, we see it, we live it, we experience it. We in the first world are considered wealthy to those who we see in Syria and Africa and other places who have no water, have very little hope. But in our own context, we see a diversity between rich and poor. We have people living in First Nations community across the north whose sanitary and water conditions are equal or poorer than people in the third world. And we have others who have buckets of money. I think the Christian response is a call to equality, a call to share. That's why the work that we do with the Primates Fund is so vitally important, where we're striving with our own resources to help those with less resources. But it's also an attitude. And I think the attitude is equally important, if not more important. For myself, I believe that this call from Jesus today is to call towards an attitude that there's hopefulness for all people and that we have the attitude that we're all sisters and brothers together, equal in the sight of God. That we are called to respect one another no matter who we are. To remember that we've all been created in love. And that we've all been called to listen and to respect and to restore one another to wholeness, as well as ourselves. That the basic message is that Jesus died and rose again for all. And that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we should never get to the point of saying, I'm the great I am, and too bad about that person over there. We need to see ourselves called to be a community of inclusion and sustainability and respect. And not just as human beings, but the whole of the earth. We have to start respecting the life around us. That nothing is to be taken for granted and destroyed just for our benefit. We can use and work with, but not destroy. And we have a lot of destruction going on around us. So what do we do with that today? It's my prayer that we, through the receipt of the sacrament, knowing that Christ is alive within us, that we take this Christly vision of inclusion, of hope and love, to apply it to all that we do. That when we sit beside or across the table from someone who may be radically different than us, remember that God lives within them, not just us. When I sit down with a Muslim person, and I do fairly regularly, or somebody who is an Indo-Canadian, or somebody who is a Chinese person, I always remember they may be different, but they are a child of God, as am I. And that we have to work from that sense of commonness and mutual caring. And I invite us all to see that. When I see an animal that's being abused, I feel as pained as I feel when a human is abused. And I strive to intervene. I've been on the edge of breaking many a windshield about an animal in a car on a hot day. And I do report them. We need to have a holistic view that God is in us, and the hopefulness is that we're all bound together as the family of God. And so I pray today, as we receive the sacrament and we go from here, that we go with that vision, that we are people of love, people of inclusion, people of reconciliation, working together with others to build a community of hope in our world. For if we do that, we all will do well. When it goes sideways is when we try to see ourselves doing at the expense of others better. We're called to care and work together as the family of God. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.